The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make it whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings the dead to life.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me on the program Crosswalk with Gino Geraci. It is, of course, the program where we take your calls and we typically try to make a conscientious effort to answer your questions about the things you care the most about, questions about God and the historical Jesus, questions about the Bible, questions about worldviews, world religions, questions about the past and the future, prophecy. But from time to time, we have authors, artists, guests on. Joining me is Douglas Cobb. He's the managing partner of the Finishing Fund, whose mission is to make disciples of every nation. He's also the author of the book, And Then the End Will Come. And it's published by Deepwater, appropriately named Deepwater, Douglas Cobb.
It's great to be with you, Gino. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on. And I want to be as nice and as kind as I possibly can because, again, you're my guest, and I want to be nice. And let me tell you what I love about the book to begin with. And then the end will come. You make not just a compelling case, but you make an appropriate case that Jesus is coming back. Agreed. You talk about unwrapping the clues and then understanding our hope. Now, so many, many books have been written on this subject, Douglas Cobb. It had to have been with at least a little bit of fear and trepidation that you thought that you're going to enter into this deep subject. What prompted you to go, I have to write this book?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, not only is it a deep and difficult subject, but it's one that people have strong opinions about and different opinions about. So the water does get deep quickly. I think the reason, Gino, that I felt compelled to write it is in my role as the leader of the Finishing Fund, I am privileged to talk to people all the time about the Great Commission and where we stand in that effort and what's being done. And what I find is that almost no one is really aware of how rapidly we are approaching the finish line of that Great Commission race. I think of it like a marathon that's been run for 2,000 years, and we're now in the stadium on the track on that final lap heading for the finish line. But sadly, very few people are aware of that. And in addition, not too many people are aware that Jesus, you know, in Matthew chapter 24, tied his return to the completion of that task in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 24. And so it's not only a big deal kind of historically that we are getting close to being done with the Great Commission, it may very well be a big deal, you know, spiritually and eschatologically as well.
Well, throughout the book, you sprinkle it with vignettes of unreached people groups. And you talk about we're getting closer and closer to what you call the finish line. And the idea being that when the gospel is preached, and the ethnos, the unreached people groups, are reached, then this sort of ushers in, or at least nothing is left that would prevent or prohibit Jesus from returning.
I would say that's a pretty good way to say it. You know, it's probably right to think about multiple finish lines in that Great Commission race. Rick Warren, who's the new leader of Finishing the Task, speaks about the three B's. He talks about a believer in every people group, the Bible in every language, and a body of Christ, a church in every neighborhood, village, you know, every place. And so, and he says, when we achieve those three things, we'll be pretty sure that we're done. And all three of those goals are, you know, things that the people who work on them most closely think are within no more than 10 or so years away. So the part I know best is that first B, aiming for the unengaged people groups and trying to, you know, eliminate that part of the work. And I think we're only a 2 or 3 years away from seeing that part completed. The others are a little further away, but not very far.
Yeah, and I hope you're right. Obviously, when you make predictions, and I want to be careful how I say this, because I think it's absolutely wrong to date set, and I think it's absolutely wrong to date suggest. But you think, well, let me put it to you a little bit differently. Do you think it's okay to date suggest?
I would say it this way, that you know, we've been warned against trying to name a day or an hour, and I would go further and say to name a year is probably equally foolish. There's nothing that I have found in the scripture that where we stand now can give us that level of precision about what is to come. I think it might be the case that later, when we have see these things in retrospect and we understand some things better, we might find that, in fact, that information was there. But I don't think that's possible to know today. So I would agree with you that trying to set a specific date is a mistake. However, I think it's absolutely correct that we can understand a season, you know, a span of time, and say that, you know, it seems likely that within this span of time, you know, it's likely that Jesus will be returning. And that's the approach I try to take in the book.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think of Hippolytus in 500 AD. I think about John Mason in 1694. I think about what probably you're very familiar with in our own lifetime, the Jehovah's Witnesses in 1914,
sure.
Sun Young
yeah.
Moon, Herbert W. Armstrong, the Millerites, Seventh-day Adventism catastrophe, Edgar yeah. Wisenot, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming, Harold Camping, the list goes on. And what all of these people have in common is they were all wrong.
Yeah, so far everybody's been wrong.
So...
But we agree it is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Jesus is definitely going to come back.
That's where I start the book, right? The first chapter is,
right.
he is coming back, right? And so we all agree about that. And so, you know.
And we all agree. I think all people who embrace historical biblical Christianity must of necessity agree that the Great Commission means something and that it's going mm-hmm. to accomplish something. But I don't necessarily think that you've given us a persuasive reason to believe that that particular scripture is going to usher in the rapture and then the second coming.
Well, the way I address it in the book is I talk about those three B's that we talked uh-huh. about a minute ago, and the, you know, the dates on that the folks who are working on each of those have set for their sort of goal. They may or may not, we may or may not achieve those things.
But and let's hope they do.
Yeah, that'd be great. But then I say, I'm careful to say, look, you know, while this will open the door for the first time in history, in my opinion, to the return of Christ, it doesn't tell us when he's coming back. He may linger for, tarry for a long time. You know, we know that we have a God who doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to salvation, right? So God may wait until the last possible moment to allow as many people as possible to hear. But it is a big deal, because if, you know, if Matthew 24:14 means what it seems to mean, it means that Jesus probably isn't coming back until we have crossed that finish line. So I'm not saying he'll come back the day we finish, or the next day, or that year, or even within 5 or 6 years. It may be 50 years, but nonetheless, it's a big deal to cross the finish line. It opens the door.
My guess is Douglas Cobb. The book is called And Then the End Will Come. It's published by Deepwater Books. And Doug, before we go, tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. You know, it's getting rolled out there. Most people shop on Amazon. That's where I'd go get it.
Is it available in an electronic version?
There is an ebook and an audiobook coming shortly, too.
Now, can you stay with me just a little bit longer?
Of course. Happy to.
This is Gino Geraci, my guest, Douglas Cobb. We're talking about his book, And Then the End Will Come, the Completion of the Great Commission, and 9 Other Clues that Jesus is Coming Soon. We'll be right back.
Tough drive at the Tech Center. Big backups northbound I-25. Crash past 225, just cleared. Backed up there to County Line. Southbound 225, jam-packed from Parker Road into the Tech Center. Up north, hazmat situation. Southbound I-25 at 104th, blocking the right lanes. On Susan Thielen.
This report is sponsored by LifeLock Identity Theft Protection.
94.7 FM, The Word.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With volatility in tech stocks, changing interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 411-411 to find out how. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policies.
From executive producer and MyPillow founder Mike Lindell comes the hilarious new faith-based comedy, Church People, with a special guest appearance from Mike himself. Church People is a hilarious, heartwarming reminder that the gospel is enough. Church People will leave you laughing out loud while ultimately reminding you of the true meaning of the gospel.
Amen.
Watch Church People at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com.
Use promo code DEN for additional savings.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. The changes haven't been easy, but there's help. The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We can design a plan that targets potential customers with proven marketing strategies. Learn more at SurroundDenver.com. SurroundDenver.com. Connecting you with new customers.
You know when your garage door doesn't work, you've got problems. Schedule your $99 garage door tune-up with Chris's Garage Doors, a Colorado-based family-owned company that you can trust. Right now, you can win a LiftMaster smart garage door opener valued at $425 when you enter online at 947FMTheWord.com. For your tune-up, call Chris's Garage Doors at 720-277-8451 or online at chrisgaragecolorado.com. That's Chris Garage Colorado. Colorado.com. Rules online.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Although the account of Jesus' death and resurrection is famous, many people have more questions than answers about how this event impacts our lives today. And so Thursday on Brave, Jeff Swarzentraub provides a powerful explanation of why the resurrection of Christ matters and how it offers us a new life today. Hear a special Easter message, Thursday on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and weeknights at 7 p.m. on Denver's 94.7 FM, The Word.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Good God Almighty, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. My guest is Douglas Cobb. He's the managing partner of the Finishing Fund. We're talking about his book, And Then the End Will Come, The Completion of the Great Commission and Nine Other Clues That Jesus is Coming Soon. And in the book, you start to do the math, as you say, on page 69. And then you talk a little bit about some of these clues. Obviously, the completion of the Great Commission you cite as being something that you seem to think that the coming of Jesus will not happen until the fulfillment of the Great Commission takes place. And in your view, the fulfillment of the Great Commission has to include what you just talked about earlier. Or am I misunderstanding that? That must mean that every single ethnos, every single people group on the planet Earth has to hear the gospel in their own language with at least one person coming to Christ, or is that not really a part of the equation?
I'd say it a little differently from that. What Jesus said was go and make disciples of every nation, and so a believer is probably not sufficient. It's about disciple-making, and so the work we're doing with the Finishing Fund is about, you know, establishing churches and training up disciples in these places. But I would say that in general, I'd agree with what you said, that every ethnos will be evangelized.
And I use that word very specifically to mean people group.
Yes, I agree with that exactly. For our listeners, you know, the word that's translated nations right. in the Scriptures in the New Testament is the Greek word ethnos. We have words that are based on that word. It's familiar to us. And so, but the biblical scholars tell us that it describes a people group, a group of people. That
yeah, we're not talking geography or borders or political borders. We're talking people groups.
Right. So culture, heritage, ancestry,
language,
geography, those are the characteristics. There are fewer languages than there are ethnos. There's something like 7,000 languages and something like 12,000 ethnos. So some of them share a language. Some ethnos have more than one language. So,
right.
You know, it's not a perfect correlation. But yes, I would say that, you know, my belief is that what Jesus was saying in Matthew 28:19 is go to all the ethnos and make a disciple, and at least one disciple in every one of them. That would be to me the mission. And then in Matthew 24:14, he tied his return to the completion of that mission. That would be the summary of my thinking about that.
Now, in your book, you talk about prophesying the second coming, and you make an appeal to Daniel chapter 12, and you talk about making a connection between Revelation 11 and 13, and then this idea that somehow on the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock, or the very famous Golden Dome, somehow plays a role in your calculation of the second coming. Explain how you came up with that.
So let's go back a couple of steps back just so folks can understand how we came to this. So for me personally, the journey was that having come to an understanding about Matthew 24:14, I began to look for other suggestions that might indicate that we're also living in the day of the Lord's return. Are there other clues in the Bible that lead to that? And that's where the other nine clues, including the couple from actually a couple from Daniel chapter 12, come from, very important chapter of Scripture. So, you know, it's not like if someone doesn't like a particular clue, that's fine, because that's why there's 10 of them in the book, right? I think the sum of the idea is that the sum of the clues points us toward this idea that, you know, we're living in the day of the return. The one you're talking about is from Daniel chapter 12, which is a chapter about the end times. In verse 4, there's a very interesting clue about travel and knowledge increasing in the last days. But then at the end of the chapter, in verses 11 and 12, there's this enigmatic prophecy of various days, and that's the one you're referring to.
Right.
And along the way, as I was researching and just learning, you know, what different thoughts people had about this, I came across this very interesting speculation that the end of the sacrifice, as it's described in that section in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, is not describing some future thing that will happen. Obviously, the sacrifice is currently not taking place. The theory is that it will one day be reinstituted and then will be stopped again. Most interpretations of Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12, work from that point of view, that this is speaking of something that is yet to happen that will then be stopped. But in the context that the end of the sacrifice, as the angel, the angelic being is speaking to Daniel there, would refer to Daniel's understanding of that idea of the end of the sacrifice, which would point to the when the Babylonians ended it sometime during their siege, their invasion of Judah, when they destroyed the temple and put an end to the sacrifice. Nobody knows exactly when that happened. It was somewhere in a span of, not quite 15 years. But we know it did happen because it was put to an end only to be reestablished later when the people returned from captivity. And it's from that beginning point then that the days begin to count. And, we use an understanding from Daniel chapter 9, where weeks represent weeks of years, and we use days in chapter 12 to be representative of years, and do some math that leads to a conclusion, like the others in the book, that we are living in the days of the Lord's return.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously, there is a sense of urgency. I mean, in my view, the Bible itself gives us plenty of motivation to believe that Jesus could come back at any moment. Obviously, my view of imminence is different from your view, but it causes me to think Jesus could come back today. Jonathan Edwards, more than 200 years ago, said, live each day like this could possibly be the last day that you are alive on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Do you sense that there might, in your view, I'm left with the impression that you think most people are asleep, that we don't have a healthy preoccupation with the second coming of Jesus, that perhaps we've fallen asleep. I mean, to me, there seems to be periods of time when people have an unhealthy preoccupation with the coming of Christ. But is there such a thing?
Well, I think it's possible to have an unhealthy preoccupation with it, and I think that has been characteristic of some folks at some times, and maybe even increasingly in recent times.
Harold Camping says Jesus is going to come back at such and such a date. People sell their homes, they liquidate their, I know you're a finance guy, they liquidate their savings for the next 20 years, and they go, Jesus is going to be here in the next 24 months. Why do I have 24 or 20 years worth of retirement?
I do think, though, that there is a sense in which we have been lulled to sleep by the long time spans over which God operates. Peter specifically addresses this. Where is the promise of his coming? It's been a long time. It's probably going to be a long time. And so I do think there's a sense in which we fall asleep. In fact, I actually quote in the introduction to the book from Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus is speaking to the church in Sardis, and he tells them, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obeyed, and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. And so I think the church in the West is largely like this church at Sardis. We're asleep. And not aware of the amazing things that are taking place around us. And even worse, I think we're discouraged by a lot of things we see happening in the culture and politics. And, it's because we have our eyes fixed on what is seen and not on what is unseen. So I do agree with you. I think there is a kind of sense that the church has fallen asleep.
And then the end will come. Again, Douglas Cobb is the author. Tell us quickly how people can get a copy.
You can find the book at Amazon. It's also at Barnes & Noble. And then the end will come.
Thanks so much for being my guest.
Big delays up north on southbound I-25. Hazmat situation. Southbound I-25 at 104th has the right lanes blocked off. Southbound I-25 stopped. Back to 144th Avenue. That's at least a 30-minute backup. Want to avoid southbound I-25, Washington, or Huron down past 104th. I-25 busy in the downtown drive. A lot of stop and go in the tech center. Had a crash near 225. That is gone. Accident up in the Brayton area. This is westbound 76 approaching E-470. I'm Susan Phelan.
This report is sponsored by LifeLock Identity Theft Protection.
94.7 FM, The Word.
888 Heating. They are your number for comfort. We call on them for our heating and cooling needs. They're a family and locally owned Denver business. They only use Consumer Reports consistently number one rated American Standard furnaces, and their techs are simply the best. For a limited time, 888 is offering $2,000 off new heating and cooling units, plus a free whole home humidifier with interest-free financing up to 60 months. Take advantage of this great offer. Also, for a limited time and while supplies last, they're installing a Nest, the smartest and most robust thermostat your home can have. Normally $588, you get it for $288, and that includes a free performance check. 888 Heating, all about saving you time and money and expense. 888heating.com. Scheduling is hassle-free, or 720-738-9888. Safer, smarter, it's 888heating.com. 888heating.com.
Ever heard that saying, people make the difference? It's true everywhere, even in the radio business. At Advanced Hair Restoration, you'll be surrounded by genuine and caring people. You'll meet with Farah for a consultation, and you'll immediately recognize her integrity and compassion. Then there's Dr. Tanya Pauls, someone so incredibly passionate about helping people improve their lives. Advanced Hair's entire team is committed to your comfort and results. With just a one-day pain-free treatment, Advanced Hair addresses years or even decades of hair loss. It works for receding hairlines, bald spots, thinning hair. It even works for women, too. You'll witness Advanced Hair's exceptional standards of safety and care, and there is no one you can trust more. For your free consultation, call 720-459-HAIR and get special financing, 250 free hair grafts, and $250 off. Let Advanced Hair show you that people do make the difference. 720-459-HAIR. Or become inspired with before and after pictures at advancedhair.com.
Ah, retirement. Sounds so sweet, you can almost taste it, can't you? You've been doing the right things, saving the right way, working hard, and now you're ready to start that next great journey of life. You get to do what you love with the people you love in places you've been dreaming about for years. Are you ready? Have you saved enough? Do you know if your money's going to last? That's where we come in. This is Colin Richards, founder of Lord & Richards. Tune in to the Lord & Richards Show Saturdays at 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. right here on KRKS 94.7 The Word. I'm going to take you on a journey to discover how to be financially independent sooner than you might think. From a biblical point of view, learn more at lordandrichards.com or call 720-372-0400. That's 720-372-0400.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC.
Done right. Kitchens, baths, windows, and doors. Nearly every home show in this state has been canceled. Folks, when you book your full project now, you'll enjoy our traditional 8% home show savings. 800-362-8370 or drhi.com.
Our workforce needs work. I'm Holly Robinson Pete. Join me, Delivering Jobs and the Society for Human Resource Management, in creating pathways to 1 million jobs for those with intellectual and developmental differences.
To learn more, please visit deliveringjobs.org.
Now, back to Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci inviting you to call. I just finished with my guest, Douglas Cobb. We were talking about his book, And Then the End Will Come, The Completion of the Great Commission, and 9 other clues that Jesus is coming soon. It is an interesting read. And he presents some novel ideas that I think are suspect, but there are many, many things about the book that I can recommend. 303-873-1935, that's the number. if you want to join me on the program. I know a few people called and they wanted to talk, and I'm happy to take your calls now. 303-873-1935. And while I'm waiting for you to call, I'm going to read from the American Minute. These are notable events of American significance remembered on the date that they occurred, and by Bill Federer. And he writes for today's date something really interesting. He says, five-star General Omar Bradley died April 8th, 1981. Today's April 8th. He was born 1893 in a cabin near Clark, Missouri. He was a star player on his high school baseball team. He worked for Wabash Railroad until his Sunday school superintendent recommended he apply to West Point. President Eisenhower said April 29, 1954, quote, I thank General Bradley, my old comrade in arms, my classmate from West Point, my great associate in World War II. Bradley commanded the Second Army Corps in North Africa. He was the senior commander of the United States ground forces for the invasion of France, and in August 1944 led the 12th Army Group in France and Germany, consisting of 1 million men in four armies. President Johnson stated May 23, 1964, quote, General Bradley, you were the field commander of more American fighting troops than any commander in any era, unquote. Chief of Staff of the United States Army in 1948 and 1949, he was the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1950. General Omar Bradley stated November 11, 1948, we've grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants, unquote. By the way, producer Mark Howington, did you know that he graduated from the Army Command Center at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas?
I did not know this.
He and Eisenhower graduated from the Army Command Center, and my son graduated from the Army Command
Center. Well, see, there you have it. Great minds and great traditions.
Well, it is a great tradition, and I'm so, so very proud of my son, who's a major in the Army. 303-873-1935, that's the number. And I know that a lot of different newscasts are reporting on the tragedy in South Carolina about the mass shooting that has taken place. And I'm a little bit concerned that so few of our liberal friend outlets, but some of you are aware that yesterday afternoon, five people were killed and one person was injured in a mass shooting in South Carolina. And among the victims were two young children, and the shooter was believed to be a former NFL player, Philip Adams. I'm not familiar with him, or I think I know that he briefly played for the San Francisco 49ers. And again, tragically, he shot five people, wounded another person, and then died from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And so apparently he killed himself early this morning, that from a source in the York County Sheriff's Department. 303-873-1935, that's the number if you want to join me on the program. Let's see who's up. Justin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Gino. How are you doing today, man?
Doing good.
Hey, thanks, man. I so appreciate you taking my call. I'm very blessed by your ministry all the time. And actually, I think I talked to you about a week ago, so it's good to hear from you again. So I have a question about a specific situation. If you don't mind, I'd like to flesh that out for you, kind of give you an explanation of what happened. So My fiance, she was at work today. She works for she used to work for Chick-fil-A, and she's an amazing, incredible, intelligent, bold, just biblical woman of God. And obviously she's just an excellent worker, man. She's just incredible. And she speaks the gospel at the workplace, both to customers and fellow employees, I think as she ought. And she's also excellent. She does so in a way that doesn't, you know, infringe or cause her to neglect her duties, which is one of the primary reasons she's there, obviously.
Right, and one of the prohibitions in the first in the Bible. In other words, obviously sharing, there's nothing wrong with sharing your faith in the workplace, but even the apostle says, you know, don't neglect your duties. Don't allow sharing the gospel to be anything other than what you described your friend, a stellar employee.
Of course, yes. And, you know, I think you're quoting Paul to Timothy when he says, if a man is not willing to provide for his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, actually. So absolutely.
I was actually thinking about was, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. So the idea is, if you're working with other Christians, by all means, do a great job.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't mind, I'd like to flesh out a little more details because there was more that happened. She ended up getting called into the office by the owner, and she was forbidden to speak the gospel to anyone, period, at the workplace.
At Chick-fil-A,
yes.
And this can't be true. I love Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it's so sad.
But keep going.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm on a roll here. So I was just as shocked. I was just as angry, really. And that's part of my question. But I got off work because the way even that he spoke to her in forbidding her, first and foremost, I'm upset about him forbidding her. Because that's denying God, first of all. And second of all, the way that he spoke to her was very just harsh and just wicked and really disgraceful, frankly. And so what I did is I went down when I got off work and I asked to talk to the boss. I actually worked there a couple years ago, so I know him pretty well. And the way I went about it, just to make sure I wasn't, you know, running off of, I guess, misinformation or a lack of understanding or something like that, or a misunderstanding, I asked from him and his perspective what exactly took place. And he kind of gave me sort of a generalized answer, kind of left it really vague, which told me something was being hidden. And so I called him out.
I've only got 30 seconds, so you hold on. I'm just going to give you some broad principles and a scripture reference. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so I think that what I would basically say is there's lots of reasons to share your faith at work. Jesus mm-hmm. commands it. Duty demands it. Gratitude prompts it. That's the short version. Again, if your boss says you can't share Christ, well, the Lord commands me to. Duty demands it. Gratitude prompts it. But I'm not saying don't do your job. I'm saying do your job and more.
Okay.
I got to go. But thanks.
Big delays up north. Southbound I-25 is just crawling in that drive-through Northland. You may want to stay off the highway. Hazmat situation. Southbound I-25 at 104th. Blocking the right lanes. Backed up solid to 144th Avenue. That's at least a 30-minute backup through there on Southbound I-25. Get around at Washington or Huron. Northbound I-25 backed up in the tech center. Had a crash near 225. That's gone. And the Cherry Creek Dam Road. Big delays. Accident northbound on the dam road up past Union. I'm Susan Thielen.
94.7 FM, The Word.
30% of ID theft victims suffered multiple types of identity theft. Get LifeLock. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code RISK.
What are real people saying about Skechers ArchFit footwear? Joe from Hilton Head says, excellent product. I need arch support, and these shoes have it. Joe, Skechers ArchFit don't just have arch support, they have podiatrist-certified arch support that was developed with over 20 years of data. These shoes are great for virtually everybody. Next, Pete from New York writes, great for walking. I stand a lot of work, and the ArchFit keeps me comfortable. My feet don't feel tired at the end of the day. Okay, Pete gets it. He's walking, working, just living at Skechers ArchFit. And since ArchFit are the ultimate solution for all-day comfort, his feet still feel good after a long, long day. Now let's hear what Retired for Life from Florida has to say. Bought these for use as everyday wear shoes. The arch support is amazing. All right, look, she's getting the support she needs, and she's also sneaky smart wearing these every day because Skechers ArchFit are machine washable, so you can keep them looking great no matter how much you wear them. She's a genius. Feel for yourself what everybody's raving about. Find podiatrist-certified Skechers ArchFit at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
My name is Pastor Josh Weidman from Grace Chapel. My heart for you as a pastor is that you'll grow to know Christ and see his work in your life every day. I think there are several steps that can aid this in your life. First, keep close to Christ through the constant consuming of Scripture. Second, be connected to a local church. We'd love to connect you to our church, Grace Chapel. We're located in South Denver, right off I-25 and C-470. We have live services on our campus and online every Sunday morning. We also have many online and in-person communities that you can be a part of. So if you're in Denver or the surrounding area and you don't have a local church, please check us out. You can find out more about us at gracechapel.org. And finally, keep consuming theological material that points your heart and mind to Christ. We have more for you on our website. So come on over, gospeldaily.org. That's GOSPELDAILY.org.
Listen to Gospel Daily Monday through Friday right here on 94.7 FM, The Word.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Okay, class, let's bump it up to 9.
Come on, Limu, keep peddling. We got to build our endurance to let more people know that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Pick up the pace, bird legs.
Hey, don't talk to Limu like that.
I'm not. I'm talking to you.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Amy Elaine.
And I'm Latan.
We all have a story.
And we all have a past.
Many times we have no idea how powerful the pain from our past can be, with God as the centerpiece of our stories.
Every week you'll be inspired to hear how God changes your past to power.
We'd love for you to join us for Past to Power with Amy Elaine Martinez and Latan Roland Murphy every Saturday at 6 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. right here on 94.7 FM, The Word.
We can't wait to meet you here.
This is Dan Kaplis. The heart of the Reagan Doctrine was peace through strength. That same principle is at the core of the tremendous success that our law firm has been blessed with because we've proven over and over again our ability to fight and win big at trial. So we're able to engineer many very large out-of-court settlements. We are a serious firm for serious cases. We take righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. If you need my help, call 303-770-5551 or hit DanKaplisLaw.com. That's DanKaplisLaw.com.
Denver's 94.7 FM, The Word. Listen live at radio.com.
Crosswalk with Gino Gerasi.
Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you. When I am sure I reach the end.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope, Justin, you know what? I hope you call back because I'd like to talk a little bit more about your situation and talking about your faith in the workplace. And again, asking and answering that question, well, again, how do we walk that line? And can an employer demand that we never share our faith at work? And is that an appropriate thing to demand, especially from an employer who claims to be a Christian? Now, before I talked about that evangelistic efforts shouldn't interfere with our duties that we're as workers, that we have a job to do. That's what I meant when I was quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 through 14, where Paul, writing to Christians, says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you." This is, Okay, Justin, I understand you're back.
Hello, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was supposed to wait on the line there.
Well, and I wasn't either. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to no pun intended, flesh out what you're going through. You know, what is the appropriate way to deal with this? How, you know, can a Christian boss say, I don't want you talking about Jesus under any circumstance, either, you know, to the guests or to your coworkers or to anyone? And you know, again, putting it in the context, which I already did, you know, in the sense of you led me to believe she's a stellar employee. She does her work. She probably gets outstanding work performance evaluations. So if that's not the issue, if witnessing isn't keeping her from doing the job, that's when, again, we ask a different question. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. But, you know, again, what are some good reasons? What are some good reasons to share our faith? Now, again, it becomes with that caveat. Well, what if my boss says, I can't share Christ under any circumstance? How do I deal with that? Well, I think there's a couple of ways I would think about it. I would have to ask myself that very important question. Do I want to work here? Especially if the boss is asking me to do something that Jesus has asked me to do.
That's right.
And so, yeah, remember during his last moments on earth, Christ said he could have said anything. And yeah. Earlier I had this guy who was talking about the Great Commission. And he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the ethnos, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. So the idea, what he chose to tell us, that we're to go with his blessing and power to preach the gospel so that others could come to know him, experience saving power and a real relationship with Jesus. So the other thing I would wonder is, does he say that to all the employees? Has he said that to all the employees? Has he said, and when you worked there, did he say, you can't talk about Jesus, and you certainly can't talk about Jesus with the guests?
Yeah, that's a good question. I honestly don't know. It's been a couple of years. But what's interesting, this is such an interesting situation to me, because I worked there for probably about a year, and I'm not trying to, you know, toot my own horn or boast, but I'd like to think I was an excellent employee. I did my job and never neglected it. But I talked about Jesus. I talked about the gospel. I even prayed over guests openly, you know, on the job. And there was never a problem in my case.
And was it an unwelcome prayer on the part of the guest? Did the guest complain to the boss and say, I don't want your people praying over me?
No, not that I'm aware of. No, yeah, it was always welcome. It was always received. Now, as far as the gospel and speaking of Christ, I don't know in every case whether it was received by everyone, because obviously it's an offensive message. And as far as my fiance is concerned, it was not just her. It was also my roommate who works there. I have two roommates right now who work there, I don't know exactly what the situation was that caused him to do that, but
yeah, I think I would ask. I would just simply ask, hey, is this something that you've instructed all of the employees?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would do is I would say, you know, if we've been redeemed by Jesus, then we have something to say about that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you believe, I believe, that without God's grace, we're lost for all eternity. And chances are most of us come to faith and salvation because someone shared with us. It's been my experience that there's only about three ways to come to Christ. Number one, a preacher preaches. Number two, someone loves you enough to tell you the truth about Jesus. The third way, there is a third way. And that is Jesus shows up in a jail cell, in a bedroom, on the car, you know, under extraordinary circumstances. So I'm not suggesting that your friend disobey her boss. What I am suggesting is there another kind of quiet testimony, the one that speaks volumes, you know? I'm sure she doesn't want to be anything other than a loyal and faithful employee. Nobody wants to badmouth your employer. I mean, nobody wants to throw, at least I don't want to throw Chick-fil-A under the bus.
No, yeah, absolutely. They're excellent. They're really great. I mean, but, and that location is excellent.
Yeah, so. But and that's where I would say to the boss, I would just ask, I know, you know, I'm not saying this to be rude or weird, but it, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Now, here's what I would say. We bring honor to God by doing everything that the Lord has asked us to do. And so, again, if the boss says no, then I think part of what you have to just come to, it could also be your friend's way of saying, for the Lord saying, maybe I have something different for you, something better for you than this place. Now, that doesn't mean quit your job. I'm just saying, remember that passage. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working to the Lord, not for men. She's working for Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus is her ultimate boss.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to the other question. So is it this boss's view that the boss himself, he can't under any circumstances share Christ with any of his guests? That's just forbidden. In other words, he wouldn't ask her to do something and then he himself would do it. If someone came in and said, would you please tell me about Jesus? Will you please pray for me? What was your experience? Would he have said, of course I'll pray with you?
You know, that's a good question. So there's actually a couple things in your response, which, by the way, I appreciate. Thank you for that. That I'd like to clarify. I already spoke to the man. So that's kind of a done deal. And it didn't end very well.
Oh, no.
Not at all. No, yeah, it didn't end well at all.
And well, 1 Peter 3:15.
Honor the Lord.
Do it with gentleness and respect.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. Gentleness and respect.
Yeah, and that's one area where, in terms of the way I spoke, I think I may have been wrong. But what I said, I know was true, and the way that we stood for Christ, I know was true. She did end up, you know, getting cut loose. She was going to get cut loose, and so she and my roommate did just, they just left, because their conviction in that moment was, well, we're not going to be silent about Christ when the wicked are allowed to speak evil under your employment. And yet here we are at a Christian organization, and we're forbidden, and that's just totally wrong. So thank you for letting us work here. And we'll take our clothes.
Well, all of that is interesting, but I need to end our conversation with this note. I still love Chick-fil-A. I still love half and half tea. I still love waffle fries. But Justin, thanks for calling, and I hope to hear from you soon. This is Gino Geraci. Thanks for joining me.